From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. June officials are relaxing community restrictions and travel mandates intended to curb the spread of COVID-19. Emergency rules about risk levels and community restrictions that had been in place lapsed on Saturday. Juneau Assembly adopted new ones in an emergency measure on Monday. It adds the community's overall vaccination level as a factor in how city officials gauge risk. The more people get vaccinated, the more permissive things get when it comes to masks, social distancing, and indoor gatherings. Assemblymember Wade Bryson was the only member to vote no.
I'm ready for this to expire.
As amended, the new measure is set to expire at the end of July. As of Monday, city officials estimate just under half of Juneau's total population has been completely vaccinated. If it hits the 50% mark and other risk factors stay stable, indoor gathering sizes will not be limited if everyone attending is fully vaccinated. Likewise, gyms and personal services could drop precautions if everyone in the facility is fully vaccinated. Another emergency measure that requires strict social distancing and COVID-19 testing for travelers arriving in Juneau is also set to expire on May 1st. The Assembly considered adopting a new version that would no longer require strict social distancing and would let fully vaccinated travelers skip testing, but six members voted no, saying Juneau was out of step with much of the state and the country. Some members argued that it was confusing, would discourage independent travelers, and hurt local businesses. Only Alicia Hughes-Scandies and Christine Wall voted yes. They said collecting the test results data was valuable and wasn't much of an ask. Wall also had kids in mind.
You know, we do still have a segment of our community who can't get vaccinated, which are our youth. And until our youth can be vaccinated, I'm supportive of measures that can help keep them safe as we see more visitors show up here this summer.
After the city's current travel mandates expire, testing at airports is still expected to be an option. In other news, the Assembly decided to hold the next municipal election in October by mail, again, due to ongoing uncertainty about the pandemic. However, Mayor Beth Weldon did say the Assembly would hold its next regular meeting in person.
May 24th, we will meet in person as an Assembly, and the clerk's office and I are working out the particulars, but you all know where you're sitting on the dais.
It would be the first time since April 20th last year. Juneau officials reported two new cases of COVID-19 today. City officials know of 14 active cases in the community, which includes one person at Bartlett Regional Hospital. They estimate that nearly half of Juneau's entire population has been fully vaccinated. Anyone 16 and older who lives or works in Alaska can sign up to get vaccinated at juneau.org/vaccine or by calling 586-6000. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that pregnant women get the COVID-19 vaccine. The news comes after months of uncertainty for expectant mothers. Dr. Lisa Rabinowitz is a staff physician for the state's public health department and serves on its COVID-19 task force. She says the announcement helps doctors make recommendations for pregnant women.
We knew the great risk of the infection to women, so we were very excited this week to have more concrete data that helps we feel more confident talking to women and helping them make this decision.
She says the news also comes on the heels of a new study that highlights the increased dangers of COVID-19 infection for pregnant women and their unborn children. Pregnant women and children are considered vulnerable populations and were not included in vaccine trials. But early data from the CDC's Vaccine Pregnancy Registry shows, quote, no evidence that antibodies from COVID-19 vaccination cause any problem with pregnancy, including problems with the placenta. In a White House briefing last Friday, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky said pregnant people who were vaccinated showed no unusual side effects in an agency study. Further, no safety concerns were observed for the more than 800 people who completed their pregnancies after getting the vaccine in the third trimester. CDC continues to advise women to make a decision in consultation with their doctors. State of Alaska has agreed to pay $85,000 to a former Arts Council employee who says she lost her job for making negative comments about the governor on social media. Karen Lowell held several positions with the Alaska Council on the Arts over a span of 8 years. She and her colleagues lost their jobs in 2019 when Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed the council's funding. Lowell says that later, when the funding was restored, most of her coworkers were hired back, but she was not.
I got an email that said basically the decision to rehire you was denied because of statements you made on social media. You know, call us and let us know if you have any questions. And I called and it was crickets. It was like nobody wanted to talk to me.
Lowell says she had taken her anger about the governor's vetoes to Facebook, only in a minor way, she says, and had a small role in the effort to recall him, all after her employment with the state had ended. And while Lowell says she had wondered if her comments would be a problem in getting her job back, she was still surprised the state admitted, in writing, that was the reason she wasn't rehired. Lulz saw it as a violation of her First Amendment right to free speech, and she took the case to the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska, which didn't file a lawsuit, as other former state employees have done, but sent the governor's office a letter of Lulz's intent to sue. That led to the settlement for lost wages and other non-economic damages announced on Monday. Lulz says she did not want to cost the state thousands of dollars, but she says she's had real economic hardships related to losing her job, and Lulz says she hopes the settlement shows others that their right to free speech is protected.
Speak your mind. Don't be worried about when you speak your mind that you're going to lose your job or your friends or your standing in the community. You know?
Officials with the State Department of Law declined a request for an interview and said in a written statement, quote, "This issue has been settled to the satisfaction of both parties, taking into account how much a case like this costs to litigate," end quote. The cost of lumber and other building materials is sky high, and the pandemic has periodically interrupted the supply chain. One inventive Alaskan wants to make lumber by using a locally harvested material no one wants, plastic ocean debris. The EPA has given Patrick Simpson a $100,000 grant to develop his idea of a mobile plastic waste recycler. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin has this story.
Simpson is a fisherman's son who grew up in Cordova. He expected to become a commercial fisherman too, but the ocean didn't agree with him.
If you have seasickness, you're not going to be a very good fisherman. It just doesn't work out. So I ended up going off to school. I got a degree in engineering at the University of California in San Diego.
Simpson is drawn to the creative lemon into lemonade aspects of engineering, and he's a serial entrepreneur. In the 1990s, he founded a company that made fish counting sonar. After that, he developed an unmanned underwater vehicle. Then Simpson moved into fish waste with a company called Alaska Marine Nutrition.
There, what I did was I went into Cook Inlet and I collected all the fish heads from all the processors and converted them into a food grade fish oil. And sold that in bulk.
He sold that company to his major customer, a Canadian supplements firm. And then one day, he heard a presentation about ghost nets, abandoned fishing nets that float in the oceans, entangling marine mammals and killing fish. The title of the talk was Recycling Fish Nets. Simpson's engineer mind went to work, wondering how the company found them, retrieved them, and then turned them into something useful.
Well, that got me started.
Simpson refocused on plastic waste that washes up on shores all over Alaska and the world. He wants to build a mobile waste recycler that would fit in a 40-foot container or two for easy transport to coastal communities. His current plan is to find material collected in community beach cleanups and intercept it before it goes to a landfill. But plastics recycling is tricky. Plastic isn't one thing. The kind that's used in milk jugs is different than plastic film or rope, and they each have particular properties. Simpson says he can use two major types.
I'm able to take the polyethylene and the polypropylene, and I'm melting those, and then I'm shredding net, nylon, and using it as a reinforcement, the fibers, to create a recycled plastic lumber, and then I'm going to sell that locally.
The lumber isn't suitable for, say, framing a house. Plastic's too bendy for that. But Simpson says it could be made into decking, fencing, or roofing tiles.
The technology's not horribly difficult. It's been proven. And the innovation is the use of the net combined with the melted plastic to create an extruded recycled plastic lumber and the packaging into this mobile platform.
The $100,000 EPA grant is to help improve his concept. If successful, he may be eligible for another EPA grant worth more. And Simpson's not done inventing. He wants to use drones to find which shores have the most plastic debris. That would help direct beach cleanup campaigns, and it would help locate materials Simpson hopes to put to good use. Reporting from Anchorage, I'm Liz Ruskin.
An international cruise ship line wants to donate $1 million to the city of Sitka with, quote, no strings attached. When the Sitka Assembly meets tonight, it will consider the offer from Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings, which the company says is to help mitigate the economic impact of the ongoing cruise suspension in Alaska. According to Fred Reeder at the Cruise Lines Agencies of Alaska, Norwegian Cruise Line ships have been coming to Sitka for more than two decades. Two of the company's smaller ships, the Regatta and the Seven Seas Mariner, call to port regularly each season. In an email to KCAW, Public and Government Relations Director Melissa Henshaw said she and the city administrator were notified of the $1 million offer during a phone meeting with representatives from the cruise line. The company plans to offer other Alaska communities donations, but Henshaw said NCLH did not specify which or how many communities will receive similar offers. The Assembly will discuss the offer and could decide to vote on it. According to language in the Assembly's packet, there are no strings attached to the money and no quid pro quo. It's up to the city to decide how to distribute the donation should the Assembly accept it. A candidate for U.S. Senate seat in Alaska has previously written articles in support of an organization that espoused gay conversion therapy, questioned the integrity of elections, and described the Twilight books and movies as evil. Kelly Chewbacca says the posts and articles, as first reported by CNN, are proof her campaign is gaining momentum. She tells the Associated Press that allegations regarding voting integrity should be investigated. She later apologized if her gay conversion article offended anyone and said same-sex marriage is settled law. And she says Alaskans will care more about who will protect oil and gas jobs than the Twilight vampire fiction. And finally, a tourist from Alaska visiting the Las Vegas Strip won more than $2.1 million after putting $40 into a Monopoly Millionaire slot machine at the Cosmopolitan. The resort casino made the announcement in a statement Monday. Las Vegas Review Journal reported the jackpot was hit at 7:52 p.m. Sunday, and the winner was not a guest at the Cosmopolitan. The winner's name has not been released. And that is it for the KTOO News Update for Tuesday, April 27th, 2021. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.